Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
How you doing there? And your beautiful Christmas room there as we're headed toward the end of January.
Headed toward the end of January, but I'm telling you, December is ramping up here right now. As we're taping this, it's December 1st, and tomorrow is the first big, we've already had like a couple of snows, but nothing that amounted to anything. But tomorrow is supposed to be a doozy coming through. So at least where we're at, I know the mountains, you know, the Cacheros and the Dunkles, they've already had big snows, I'm sure, already. But down where we are, tomorrow comes in 5 to 8 inches in the morning. And then I think they said another 1 to 3 that night. So this should be a significant snow.
Will Dan stay home when that happens?
Or does he go to work? No, he's got things going on. Sometimes he does, but where the snow line is, actually Newburyport's only a half hour from us, but it's all rain there. So where the snow line for this system is, there's no reason for him to not be at work. And he's got the Bronco. It's kind of fun for him to, if I were home, I'll be out of town for this one, but if I were home, I would have the fireplace going and just be inside and say, oh, can't go anywhere. But he takes it as an adventure. So he'll be off in his car and doing his thing.
Yeah. Yeah. In Colorado, we haven't had hardly any snow down in Denver at all. Just a trace. Mm-hmm. Up in the mountains, they have snow for, you know, the ski resorts. It's what they call below regular snowpack. So they should have. Probably they're only about 50%.
It's a little early for good snow, even for you guys, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And they just up in Copper, this actually over the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they had women's pro racing.
Oh, wow.
And so they make snow up there and then they groom a slope for it, for the, you know, giant slalom and all that. And
right.
So I guess I read that there were like 2,000 or 3,000 people that came up and watched it.
Oh, wow.
And they saw these women's racers, including Michaela Schifrin, who's, you know, the superstar of America.
Uh-huh.
And she was there.
Excellent.
She's actually from Vail. So she actually got to be home.
Oh, that's fun.
And then they're all getting ready for the Olympics that will be held in, I think it's January or maybe 1st of February in Cortina, Italy.
That's right.
So, and that's a boy, I've been there and it's beautiful. It's magnificent.
Oh, fun.
And anybody ever wants to see a visual of Cortina, Italy, you can watch the James Bond movie called For Your Eyes Only.
Came out a long, long time ago, yeah, right? I was a kid?
Yeah. And they filmed the ski scenes at Cortina. Italy.
Oh, interesting. And this is where Winter Olympics will be.
That's where the Winter Olympics
are. Well, that's kind of fun, right?
Yeah. So it's a magnificent place and it'll be fun to watch. And, you know, what they did is they moved the Summer Olympics there every 4 years and the Winter Olympics every 4 years. Used to be on the same year.
Right. But now it flip-flops.
They rotate them. So every 2 years we get to see either winter or summer. And it'll be fun to see the Winter Olympics that are just, you know, because being a skier, it's always fun to watch how good they
are. Right. Well, and it's amazing how far it's come, like the trick skiing and things like that can be done too. It's incredible to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With the snowboards and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, we've been talking about forgiveness, reconciliation, and we're talking about opportunity where somebody says, I'm willing to talk about it. We've said it's about your heart. Make sure your heart is right and you're at peace and can talk to somebody with honor and respect. Would you be willing to listen to what I have to say? You know, hopefully they say yes. And then you share because you're in forgiveness and you're in honor and respect, I can just basically share the facts of it and then how it affected me. So the two things you're trying to do is this is what happened. You know, and Linda shared with me, hey, you know, you being late really you were late, blah, 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 facts. What that did is that it caused me to be disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
I had to hang around here waiting, and it was a whole hour before you came. And I was getting madder and madder and madder because you weren't at least letting me know.
Right.
And I felt awful, and you disrespected me, and I don't understand that, you know. And all she did was share the facts and then how she felt.
Right.
And this is such a beautiful thing, is because even if I have a tendency to spin things or to mm-hmm. defend things or to get defensive, I can't really argue the facts.
Right.
And I really can't argue how you felt about it.
Right.
That's your feelings. Mm-hmm. She hasn't said anything about you did. It's just, this is what happened. This is how it affected me. And this is how you offended me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really argue with that. Now I can try to spin it and say, well, I was too busy and I had this meeting. It was the most important meeting of the week. And you should be able to, you know, put up with that. You know, I could have done all kinds of stuff, but, I'm now in a place of defending beyond the facts because I can't really refute the facts.
Right, right.
And if you do it with honor and respect, we'll see what that, and this is important, is what it does is it doesn't escalate it into something mm-hmm. different. If she would have attacked me immediately. Now, by the way, remember my pattern, that's the way my mom did.
Right.
She attacked me.
That would have triggered you further too.
That would have triggered me into a response of, I would have gotten harder, not because of the facts, but because of the way she did it.
Right.
And now we're into another battle that escalated way beyond what it could have done because she stimulated without dealing with facts and feelings.
And I think it's important as you bring up the facts and feelings too, to recognize that we need to both express a differentiation between the two and recognize a differentiation between the two. Because if we state our feelings as fact, that's when it tends to go inflammatory, because that's when you get into the you did, you always this versus, okay, this is what happened and this is how it made me feel. And like you said, that is very, you know, very objective. That is simply, this is what it is, rather than coming at, like when we begin to spew our feelings as fact, that's usually when we go accusatory and blame, and that causes defensiveness and all kinds of things, versus knowing the difference between the two.
Yeah, there is in our home, because I do a lot of discipling, my tendency was I would basically be available for somebody to call me and I would take it and help that person. Mm-hmm. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, isn't that a good thing?
Right.
Look at what I'm doing. I'm helping this person that needed some help and they're struggling and I'm helping them. And what a great ministry is that, you know? So sometimes I would even get a call during dinner and I'd get up and answer it right after dinner. So my kids, adult kids with my Linda, you know, they obviously, I did that, you know, and I probably did it several times. And
right.
And while I was gone, you know, one day they talked about it, you know, but they knew this process. They understood this process, you know? So they said, hey, we'd like to talk to you about something. Okay. Fact and feeling. You, in the middle of dinner, you'll take a phone call from somebody.
Mm.
Right after dinner, when we're trying to be together, you'll take a phone call from somebody. And so we want to let you know how that makes us feel.
That's good.
We feel unappreciated. We feel disrespected, and that other people are more important than us, than the time commitment that you're trying to make to us. We're as important as that. And they said, we're not saying you shouldn't disciple people. That's not what we're
saying.
We're just saying we got to do it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can enjoy our dinner and get your full attention and do the same thing, you know, right after dinner. Okay. Fact and feeling. Now, I couldn't refute any of that.
right.
You know, even with, but mm-hmm. I'm helping these people. And see, they didn't even go there.
Right.
They didn't even say, we don't want you to do that. It's like, we understand how valuable that is to those people. We get that. But in this scenario, here's the facts, here's the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't refute it.
Right.
And by the way, because again, this is how it goes with people that you're learning to do this with together, is my heart is to be willing to receive truth mm-hmm. and God to correct me, what course correction I call it.
Right.
Is that, hey, I'm trying to show you something here that's actually is harmful, mm-hmm. and I need you to look at it differently. And so, you know, I did. So fact and feeling, and if you express it without a lot of negative energy, it will stimulate as best we can a real discussion.
Right.
And then,
like, and that really is that Ephesians 4:32 that we talked about just a couple of days ago, you know, with that's kindness right. and gentleness and love, you know, talking that way. That's a big difference.
That's right. And so then, you know, they would say, okay, here's how I felt, you know, and hey, you know, hey, Rich, what's your perspective on that? And because I have a heart to both receive it and look at the truth, it's that I said, you know what? I really see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my motive wasn't too disrespectful. I thought I was being helpful to these people, mm-hmm. and I didn't really register
right.
that while I'm doing that, which is a good thing, mm-hmm. I'm actually causing you hurt because of inadvertently what I'm doing and the signal I'm giving. And so, I do understand that aspect of it.
Yeah. Can I just something like I'm thinking about the fact that your kids were willing to actually speak this too. Let's take the other side and pretend for a moment they didn't. One of the relationships you care most about is discipling your children and having joy with them, joy in the family. That is your primary ministry field, right? Is your family.
Yeah. Yes.
And had they not been willing to do this and do it, fact, feeling, with respect, that sort of thing, there would have been unseen harm being done to that relationship, like an undercurrent of harm being done to that relationship over and over again, simply because nobody brought it to light, because it wasn't something you weren't intending it to be hurtful. You weren't intending it to be disrespectful, but it was a blind spot for you.
Right.
And so them being willing to have the hard conversation, I think sometimes we have to recognize that there are relationships in our lives that we need to make sure we're willing to have the hard conversations with, because if we don't, we're not actually protecting that relationship. We are allowing it to hurt, to be hurt, and we're allowing things to come under that actually undermine the foundation of that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And had they not, again, they would have, every time I did it, mm-hmm. they would have gotten more hard,
right?
Deeper anger, frustrated, which would have carried over into other things.
Right.
And if I wasn't told this and I'm not even registering the significance mm-hmm. of it, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. See?
Right. So nothing's going to change. Right.
Well, actually, again, for everybody's benefit, including mine.
Mm-hmm.
This had to be brought out. See, that's why conflict isn't necessarily bad. See, it is, and there's an issue here that needs to be resolved. God says, I'll resolve it. Ideally, everybody involved here will process what I'm trying to show you, God speaking, and I'm going to get to some things that are really healthy for everybody. And it's stimulated out of this conflict and anger that got the discussion going.
Right.
But with honor and respect, you know. And so as we looked at you know, Philippians 2, again, just read 1-6 just to remind us of where it is, and then we'll look at what do we do with this.
Sure. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God.
Yeah. So we're working toward harmony, which is the highest and best resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Maintain your position. Don't mm-hmm. cave. Create safety. Keep it around a respectful discussion of fact and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you then come to a place where do you, you know, Linda would say, well, do you understand how I felt, you know, and what mm-hmm. happened here? You know, yes, I do. Do you understand, you know, my perspective, what happened? And, you know, and I'm sorry for that. Okay. Yes. Now we both, and see, if you spend most of your time there, the solutions are going to be fairly nice to be developed, because you're not jumping to something that I'm immediately reacting to. You know, mm-hmm. if she would have come at me hard and said, okay, you can never be late again and blah, 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 blah. And we didn't have any discussion about it. I would react against it. Mm-hmm. And we're fighting over solution without understanding what happened, see? Mm-hmm. And so keep separating those two out. But now it's time, okay, what now? And she would say, so what do you think is a good solution to this? Mm-hmm. Now, this is important. I'm the one that offended her.
Mm-hmm.
She expressed the issue. The best thing you can do, and I do this all the time, instead of me saying you should, I say, what do you think is a good mm-hmm. solution to this problem? First,
mm-hmm.
to the offender.
Mm.
Now that you've heard the situation, what I'd really like to know is, has any of this sunk in at all?
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a thoughtful way of how to bring a solution to overcoming this hurt? And it puts it back on the offender, and you'll find out right away.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still defensive? Are they still, well, I don't know. I guess I'll just try harder. You know, no real solution. I'm basically right. saying nothing. Or, well, based on what you said, and this is what happened, you know, she said, well, what do you think is a good solution? I said, well, first I said, I got to be better at making sure I'm on time, you know? And mm-hmm. then she said, okay, let's look at that a minute. Why do you think you have a trouble with that? And then as I processed it, it's like, well, I overschedule or I don't give myself the proper time to do something, you know? And so I gotta work on that. So I'll work on that. And I know being on time is important and I'm going to work on that. And I got to go to my schedule and work on it. And then two is if I'm going to be late, which I probably will sometime because something traffic or something else might happen, I will text you
mm-hmm.
and honor you and let you know, maybe even have to call you and say, you know, it's going to be this much time. So maybe you should go and, you know, go do some more shopping or go do this or go do that. And then I'll pick you up and you'll be pleased with that. And she said, okay, that solution is acceptable to me. Now, when you're going to be late, I would rather you not, if you're going to be there at 5, don't text me at 5. If you know you're going to be late and it's 4:30, well, then text me then
mm-hmm.
so that I can plan the next period of time without sitting there still waiting. Yeah, you text me, but you didn't really give me time to do something different, you know? And mm-hmm. so Could you, when you know you're not going to be there on time, you know, text me. Okay. Yeah, I can do that. So we're working on solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of giving you an easy one, so to speak. What the kids, for example, what you do is you seek wisdom. So read James 1:5-8, because sometimes it's a little bit tricky. And how do we do it? What do we do to get to a resolution, a solution? And we have to ask God's wisdom. What does it say here in James 1:5-8?
It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Yeah. So as you're working through solutions, sometimes it's tricky. And no, I'm not sure about that. Or no, I don't feel good about that yet. And by the way, maintain your position. Yeah, I feel good about that. That's a good solution. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure yet. No, that's not completely what I think is worthy. Let's go ask God, you know, what do you have to say? What do you have to show us? You know, come up with creative ideas. So in that situation I was talking about with my kids and Linda, they presented it. You know, you're disrespectful and something's got to change. So we now started talking back and forth. You know, as to, you know, well, these people need help and it can't be always, you know, during the day. So how am I going to handle that when, you know, it needs to be at the night, you know, you know, my children kind of challenge that and says, why do you say it can't be during the day?
Mm.
Well, I'm trying to say because.
Right, right.
I don't really have a good answer, you know. Well, I think. And they said, well, maybe you should relook at doing the whole thing differently, mm. you know. And now they said, if somebody is in an emergency scenario and there's something really needing immediate assistance, which, by the way, is rare. Because when you disciple people, you're not under any time constraint generally.
Right.
So they could do it tomorrow versus right now or sometime this week. So if it's a urgent, or, you know, somebody's in deep, deep, deep trouble and they need you, then you can say, you know, would it be okay if I took this call because? And once in a while we'll say, sure. But generally, you need to redo everything differently. Okay,
right.
What? Well, and what they did is let's ask God what he has to say. And what God showed us is that where Rich because nothing is urgent, you can set your time with them on your schedule, not theirs. Oh, yeah, I guess I could, couldn't I?
Right.
And generally speaking, you need to set a line of demarcation so that after 5 o'clock, when you're going to have dinner and then time with your kids or time with Linda, you don't take any calls.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, you know, maybe, and then you got to get permission. But you can restructure it. And then he said, right. Now, by the way, he said, you get up early.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to, and you got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and talk to somebody, you can do that. And you're not right. bothering anybody. So you can do that. Or you can schedule it at lunchtime for them. Or, you know, if they're in a time zone, they could do a 5 o'clock, but you're 3 o'clock. Why don't you reorganize everything and just say, you know what, I'm not going to take any calls after 5 o'clock anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And let people know that. And he said in wisdom, and the kids started to say, I think that might be the way to go.
Right.
And he said, you're going to find out that people say, oh yeah, sure. No problem.
Right.
That was what was so revolutionary to me. It's like, I said, you know, I don't take phone calls after 5 o'clock. Oh, when do you take them? Well, during the day, and I'll do it anytime that works for me. And I can do it next Friday. I can do it next, mm-hmm. even, you know, Saturday morning early before everybody gets up, and I can adjust. Mm-hmm. And what I learned is I just triangulate a time that works for them, works for me.
Right.
And if it doesn't work for me, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, if, you know, Linda and I have an afternoon planned because she wants to, you know, we want to drive around, or we want to go to the mountains, or we have an activity plan, you know, I'll just block it off. Mm-hmm. And I don't take calls during that time. And I just say, right. Hey, I'm going to spend time with Linda today. So I can't see you tomorrow. I can do it Friday or next week. Mm-hmm. And what I found out was people said, okay, fine.
Right.
And it solved the problem where the kids and Linda, after I processed the solution, they agreed with it. Okay, do mm-hmm. it that way. Can you do that? Would you honor that? You know, and then really right. work at that so that when you get that call during dinner or afterwards, you just say, you know what, I can't take it right now. I can meet with you in the next day or two, and stick to that process mm-hmm. so that you can honor us as a priority, and we get to have the relationship that is healthy for us and for you. Actually, this mm-hmm. is going to benefit you as well. And I did. I changed the whole thing. And it came satisfactory as we worked on solution.
Mm-hmm.
I understood the issue. I didn't know how to resolve it. But mm-hmm. God said, here, do it this way, do it this right. way, do it this way. And we just worked at it until they said, you know what? We feel good about
this. This is the sweet spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, if they would have said, you know what? We don't want you discipling people anymore. No.
Right.
No, that would not have been something I would have said yes to.
Right. Because you knew God has, or you know that God has called you to do this. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that Linda says, well, you need to spend every afternoon with me and never with anybody. Like, no. That there's a truth on my side as well.
Mm-hmm.
Had they gone into an extreme position, I would have said, no, no, that's not acceptable to me. Now, I'm willing mm-hmm. to keep working at it till we get there, but I'm not caving either to just, if you demand something that you right. think, well, that satisfies you, but it doesn't really satisfy what I think is right. So it's work, 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 work toward a solution. And both of you have to consider your own interests while you consider the interests of others toward what? A resolution that makes everybody right. happy. And we keep working, 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 and right. then we get there.
And again, the key, coming back to James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So it's not deciding these on your own. It is right. seeking God, both sides. You know, God, what are you showing us in this? What do you, how do you want us to step? And sometimes I think, at least in my experience, he'll take you to something, he'll give you a step of, okay, try this. And actually, when you do that, he reveals to you, oh, there's something else you haven't seen yet. And then right. he reveals, and so he can refine it as it goes as well.
That's right. That's right. That's a good point. It's to keep working at it until you both see it. And remember, it's God's solution, not a negotiation.
Right.
So it's not, well, I tell you what, kids, how about two nights a week, you know, and see, the spirit for them would have been troubled. Like, no.
Right.
Not yet. No, you haven't got there yet. You know, I could have negotiated something
right.
to make, quote, I'll give, you give. And God wanted it to be much more clear than that, to say, you know, Rich, you got to do the whole thing differently, both for your benefit and for the benefit of your kids. And guess what? The people you disciple aren't going to care one iota about
right.
this.
Right. And the beauty of what you're saying too, you know, we talk about this when we teach abiding, is abiding leads to truth and truth leads to freedom.
Right.
So when you seek God for his wisdom and he gives it to you, then you're not sitting there going back and forth feeling guilty because you said no to a meeting after five, or feeling, you know, whatever the case, whatever is holding you captive there. Both sides can look and say, okay, no, God directed this solution, therefore it is good.
Right.
And there's freedom in that, that releases you from, what if I just do this? And you're like, well, no, God said this is the solution. I'm staying with the solution. That's where freedom is.
That's right. That's right. For your benefit. And I know better than you.
Yeah.
So we'll finish this tomorrow, this little piece of it tomorrow. And we're going to talk about what happens when either you do get a good solution. What do you do with that? Or you know what? You don't get there, or the other person that you're trying to drive to some solution just is stubborn, irrational, defensive, spinning the whole thing. And they don't, they're not going to get to a resolution. What do we do then? And then we'll talk about
and
that.
And sadly, that happens often.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just the beauty of sharing with honor and respect our facts and feelings, and then working toward a solution that is satisfactory to both, so that we can work at it until we see your solution, which is going to be best and none better, and to let the Spirit guide us to, yes, that is your solution, or no, not yet. And may we be faithful to that, knowing that you're leading us to freedom and resolution, and ideally the other party as well. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks. See you soon.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.